The solemnity on August the 15th commemorates the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven and is the oldest Marian feast in the Church. Father Robert Ombres is the former Procurator General of the Dominican Order, and he shares with us this reflection on the wonder and importance of Mary's Assumption.
The feast of the Assumption of Mary, body and soul into heaven, is wonderful. It's wonderful and important in ways that perhaps we don't always appreciate. It's full of wonder, and it tells us something important about God, about Mary, and about ourselves. About God, the solemnity of the Assumption of Mary into heaven tells us how gracious, extraordinarily gracious in every sense, God is. How he, in his love, in his creativity, in his sustaining grace, made of Mary, in her freedom, in her response, such a choice and glorious example of what it means to be human. Today's solemnity of the Assumption tells us something important about Mary. This woman who was not touched by sin from the moment of her conception throughout her life. How her uniquely close biological bodily link to Jesus Christ was glorified in her assumption into heaven, body and soul. Which of course also means that her extraordinarily close spiritual relationship to Jesus Christ in faith is part of the meaning of her assumption. So she is assumed to be with Christ, the risen bodily Jesus Christ. She is assumed body and soul, she who was always so close to him, body and soul. And today's feast, finally, tells us something important about ourselves. It tells us where the fullness of our hope lies, not so much in being souls in heaven, but in being redeemed fully as persons who are body and soul, who will be resurrected to live with a resurrected Jesus Christ and the assumed Mary. The importance then of Mary and her assumption body and soul is also for us now, not just our hope for our future. It means that we must never despise or harm our bodies or our souls, and we must never despise or harm the bodies or souls of others. It is a wonderful feast with so much to be grateful to God for.
And that reflection came from Father Robert Ombres, Dominican priest. But how far back can we trace the history of the Feast of the Assumption, and what further light does the event shed on the figure of Our Lady? To find out more details, I sat down with Father Clyde Rausch, a priest from the missionary Oblates of Mary Immaculate Order.
It goes back to the 6th century, and it's the oldest feast of Mary in the Church, so it goes back quite a way. But the name in the original in the East was the Sleeping of Mary. Mary sleeping.
Yes, the Dormition. But I mean, in fact, some church fathers believe that she was still alive and sleeping when she was taken up to heaven, and others believe that it happened after she died. I mean, there's still an open debate on that, isn't there?
Yes, we don't have to believe even that Mary died. That's not part of the dogma. The dogma is that she was taken up to heaven, body and soul. That in 1950, Pius XII made it a dogma.
In some ways, it's surprising that it's so recent, you know, given, as you say, it's such an old feast.
Well, the Orthodox, they don't like this, the dogma pronounced in 1950, because it says, they say it goes back to apostolic times. There's no reason to define this. It was always in the tradition of the church, starting with John receiving the responsibility of Mary at the foot of the cross, and then it seems that she was with John when she died, and probably in Jerusalem. So there's a question about a tomb. There are two tombs of Mary, but one of the emperors of Rome, the Roman Empire, wanted the body of Mary, and then he was just told there is no body of Mary when they opened up the tomb in Jerusalem, and there wasn't anything. But there was the history is that either she died in Ephesus or in Jerusalem, but most say Jerusalem.
Do we know who fixed the date of August the 15th and why?
That was an early thing. Now I forget the exact reason for August the 15th, but that goes way back also. In the Orthodox, you have the different calendar. So it's the 19th or the 15th, but it was always in August.
As you said, it's always been a more important feast for the Eastern churches, right? I mean, that's still so to this day, isn't it?
Yes, it started already in the 6th, 7th century, and in the 12th century they were celebrating in here in Rome the Feast of the Assumption. So it's been in the church, but it began in the East, but of course at that time the East and the West were one, so there was not a distinction.
Can you tell us anything about some of the most important or colourful festivals that come to your mind in honour of Mary's Assumption that are celebrated in countries around the world?
I don't know how actually they celebrate it in the East, the Dormition of Mary. Every religious order in the church has taken on this as it's also a holiday for us. We're missionary oblates of Mary Immaculate. But the exact way is simply remembering in the West that the body is sacred and is and will also be resurrected on the last day for us as we see it. But in the Orthodox, they see it as already at the beginning.
Can you share with us some of the most beautiful prayers associated with the Assumption liturgy?
The prayers are very simple. The prayers are simply thanking God. God has fulfilled this in advance for Mary, what's to come for all of us, that ourselves, our persons, our body and soul, will also be taken into heaven in our own day at the Last Judgment.
Let's look now a little bit more closely at the figure of Mary herself and what we learn about her role and her character from the Gospel accounts. Can you share with us your view?
The Gospel account, of course, that this feast is taken from is John receiving the responsibility of Mary at the foot of the cross, and he takes over this. But the image that I like personally, because I'm interested in icons, you have the Pietà as Jesus died and he's taken down from the cross. The image is she's holding Jesus, and that's a very powerful image. In the Dormition's icons, in that scene, you have Mary sleeping or dying, and it's Jesus holding Mary in his arms. He's taking Mary up to heaven. In the West, in the Western Church, we have this great paintings of Mary being assumed into heaven. You see her floating up to heaven,
surrounded by angels.
Yeah. But in the Dormition, you have Jesus himself receiving Mary. And this is an image that it's mutual. She's receiving Jesus from taking down from the cross, and then Jesus is receiving her. One of the things of my experience, if I may share this, in Sweden, there was a time in the church when everything was Jansenism. We were sinful and we can't do anything right. The Lutherans told me, at least you had Mary. As an image of faith, in the Lutheran church in Sweden, they never did away with the statues, the images of Mary. In fact, the best artists in Sweden have produced images of Mary that are just fantastic. And it's for the Lutheran population.
That's surprising, too, because as we know, her importance in the church is not shared with many Protestants. For instance, the Assumption of Mary, because it's not explicitly mentioned in the Bible, it's not such an important feast day for them, is it?
No, this would not be. But the one of January 1st of Mary. In Sweden, we had a Pentecostal minister because it was church unity. We shared thoughts in each one's pulpits. And we invited this Pentecostal minister to speak about Mary. Now, he came and gave the most beautiful homily, or we can't call it homily in the Catholic Church because he wasn't preaching, but sharing on Mary. It was original and from the heart. So he says, we've lost something here. He said that. And he was the Pentecostal minister that I know. And so Mary is an attractive figure. Salvation Army person came to me once, and he had a rosary. He says, is it okay if I say the rosary? He says, I know it's only your Catholics can do that. But he says, I've been saying the rosary. Maybe I don't have permission to say the rosary. But he says, is it okay? I says, of course it's okay. So there is an undercurrent of devotion to Mary, even in other groups. But for some reason, because of their own traditions, they've had to almost say that Catholics adore Mary or worship Mary.
So what for you is Mary's greatest gift to the church, you know, her figure, her importance, everything about her?
For me, it's the scripture passage where she kept all these things inside, in her heart. She pondered these things in her heart. She was keeping these things in her heart, which she couldn't really totally understand, but gradually through the events of her life, they became clear. And for me, she tells us, bring it into yourselves. Jesus will, through the Spirit, reveal what this is supposed to mean for you personally. And I think this is what Mary did. You know, her witness was her silence, in a sense, because we don't hear her saying a lot of things, you know.
And when it comes to the Assumption, what is this saying for you?
The Assumption for me is what we have to look forward to, that whether the day is filled with the reality of suffering or joy, whether it's filled with questions, but this is going to be transformed, recreated. That's what happened to Mary. Through Christ's death, she was recreated. That's what it means for me. You know, that there's this promise, and Mary is a fulfillment of that promise already, and it's waiting for each one of us. For me, the Assumption is, or our mission, something to be looked forward to, that we're going to be in the hands of the Lord.
I was speaking there to Father Clyde Rausch, an Oblate of Mary Immaculate.
Mary's sword to you.